Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And welcome to Maundy Thursday. We are glad that you are here. If you are worshiping with us online via our live stream, we are glad that you are worshiping with us as well. You may have chosen the better option. You'll note in your bulletin that we are singing today. This is the first time since the pandemic began. But to limit aerosols in the air, please do sing quietly and behind your masks. And the majority of the sound will be produced by Lisa. If you look at your bulletin, if you are online, if you go to our website, newdublin.org, and scroll down a little bit, you will see the bulletin for tonight so that you can follow along. And in the insert, or at the bottom of the page if you're online, the words to the songs, the hymns, are in your insert, as well as a schedule on the other side for Holy Week. Good Friday service is out here again tomorrow, 6 p.m., it should be significantly less windy, we hope. Certainly warmer. And then Easter Sunday will be glorious, 65 degrees, sunny. The early service will be out here in the graveyard at 6:45 in the morning. And the main service will be at 11. Bring some flowers for the 11 a.m. service, and we will flower a cross. Finally, the Easter egg hunt will be on Saturday before Easter from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock, and there will be animals, and there will be snacks, prepackaged snacks, and an Easter story, and of course, the egg hunt itself. So you are welcome to that. Let us call ourselves to worship. What shall we offer for all of God's goodness to us? Let us lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. wrote this to the church in Corinth. Examine yourselves, and only then eat the bread and drink the cup. For all who eat and drink without discerning the body eat and drink judgment against themselves. If we judged ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we receive discipline, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. With confidence in God's abundant mercy, let us examine ourselves and confess our sin. Eternal God, whose covenant with us is never broken, we confess that we fail to fulfill your will. Though you have bound yourself to us, we will not bind ourselves to you. In Jesus Christ, you serve us freely, but we refuse your love and withhold ourselves from others. We do not love you fully or love one another as you command. In your mercy, forgive and cleanse us. Lead us once again to your table and unite us to Christ, who is the bread of life and the vine from which we grow in grace. Amen. Friends, hear and believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. To read the scripture if you've brought a Bible with you. But before we hear the scripture, let us pray. Lord our God, we ask that you cleanse our minds and our ears of all distractions and petty earthly thoughts, that we might have our ears open to hear your word, which is life to us. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The scripture reading is from Mark 14, verses 12 to 16. Goodness. My hands have about stopped working. There we go. Hear the word of the Lord. On the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." So the disciples set out and went to the city and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he came with the 12, and when they had taken their places and were eating, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be distressed and to say to him one after another, "Surely not I." He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the bowl with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born." While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." This is the word of the Lord. So today is the day that Holy Week starts in earnest, Maundy Thursday. It's the first of a set of three services that are really just one service. Traditionally, you wouldn't have a benediction at the end of this service or tomorrow's service. I think we need all the blessings we can get, so I'm going to give one. But the reason for that was that it was one long service, starting today, ending on Easter Sunday. It's the time to remember in a sustained and focused way the work that Jesus accomplished on the cross and in his resurrection. It's the time to focus in a new way and receive one more time the promise that by Jesus' death, he destroyed death, and by Jesus' resurrection, we receive the promise of eternal life, unmarred by sorrow or evil or separation from God. We do this every year. We even did it last year in a way, though if you tell me it wasn't very satisfying, I won't disagree with you. And since then, we have endured a lot. Pandemic related and not, it's been a long year for everyone. Full of some joy and some tragedy and some drama, but a lot of it just long stretches where every day was more or less like the next, and we didn't go out and do anything, and you couldn't tell the difference between one day and another. And a lot of us have felt our spiritual reserves dry up during the long grind of sameness. I've heard from several people this year that it's hard to get into Holy Week. It's hard to enter into what Jesus did for us with attentive and grateful hearts because we're just tired and we're stretched thin. And it's been a long time, maybe, since we were able to worship or pray with attention and energy. Maybe of all the people that we hear about this weekend, the ones that we can identify with most are the disciples who fell asleep in the garden. Or maybe it's not true for you. Maybe you're excited and ready. Maybe your soul is thirsty for worship in the presence of God and the strange catharsis that this weekend brings. And I want to start by telling you, whether you're tired or eager or both, the weekend is for you. And it starts today, not with betrayal or arrest, but with a holiday meal, a party with your friends and your family, like some of you might have this weekend, like you have on Thanksgiving and Christmas. It starts with the celebration of the Passover, the meal that marks God's greatest redemption in the Old Testament, his redemption of his people from slavery in Egypt. You remember how that went, don't you? Moses and the plagues, the boils and the locusts and the darkness and the flies and the frogs and finally the terrible death of the firstborn, which the Israelites were instructed to avoid by killing a lamb and marking the blood on their door and then eating the lamb with some unleavened bread in a hurry, waiting for the signal to go out into the wilderness. And so that God's people would never forget this redemption, God tells them to celebrate every year. And that's what Jesus is doing with his disciples when Holy Week starts, when he starts his main work of redemption for us. He's celebrating another redemption of the people from Egypt, a holiday meal. And it must have been going swimmingly until Jesus decides to make it awkward. There they are, reclining at table, friends, nearly family. And out of nowhere, Jesus says, one of you is going to betray me. And you can just imagine the mood change, the chatter dying down, everybody's stomachs dropping, looking at each other, looking at Jesus. Is it a weird joke? No, apparently he's serious. And so then they start asking one after another, is it me? And Jesus doesn't answer. Not directly. Doesn't narrow it down any. He just says, yes, one of you. One of you who's here with me. One of you. And of course, if we've been to church for very long, we know who it is. We know it's Judas Iscariot, who has 30 pieces of silver dangling in his pocket, who's going to sneak out sometime in the next few hours and come back with an armed mob with swords and clubs. We know he's the one that Jesus is thinking about when he says it would be better for that man not to have been born. You know, until this year, I always heard that as an angry kind of expression, but I don't think it was now. I think it was sad. I think it was full of pity, and I'll tell you why. It's because it could have applied to anybody in that room. Judas's betrayal was, of course, the worst. But in the next 24 hours, every single one of them is going to fall away and betray and deny. Even the women, who do the best of anybody, can only watch at a distance. It's a story we know well. We've read it, we've heard it, we've seen it in ourselves. Jesus is going to have to be faithful alone. He's going to have to do alone what the rest of us could not do at all. And Jesus knows it. Knows it without any question. And he sat there anyway and ate with them as his friends, as the ones he loved despite it all, as some of the ones for whom he was willing to be betrayed and to suffer and die. That's how much he loved them, and loved them despite their helplessness and their faithlessness and their cowardice. He loved them anyway, loves us anyway. And so he doesn't end the meal there. He doesn't end it with this accusation of betrayal. In the middle of the Passover, he starts to pick up the old symbols of redemption and give them a new meaning. Makes a new covenant out of the old. He picks up the bread and breaks it, gives it to them, says, take it. This is my body. He takes the bread, he gives it to all of them, knowing full well that they would fall away, that one of them would betray him, that all of them would betray him. He becomes for them the new Passover lamb, sacrificed for a new and final redemption. And he would give them his body like he was giving them this bread, as he gives us this bread. And then he does something similar with wine. The Passover story in the Exodus doesn't say anything about wine, but by Jesus' time, four cups were involved. And this is the third one, the big one, the cup of blessing, which is associated with a long prayer that thanks God for the establishment of the covenant with Abraham and for the gift of the promised land and for God's covenant with King David and his promise to preserve the kingdom and the city of Jerusalem. And at the end of this recitation of covenant from the beginning of the Bible until Jesus' time, he adds one more, a new one. He says, this is the cup of the new covenant, my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many. Jesus binds himself to his disciples like God has bound himself to his people. Not the theoretical perfect disciples, not the good disciples that follow at his heels and do everything he tells them to do. This group of disciples that by the end of the night would betray him. This group of disciples who in our own ways find ways to fall away over and over again. To them and to us, he says, take it. This is my body. Take this cup. This is my blood, which seals my covenant with you, with all of you, flaws and all. And then he says another strange thing. I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the day I drink it new in the kingdom of God. That's the goal. That's why he's giving his body to be broken and pouring out his blood like a new Passover lamb. It's not the last meal. We call it the Last Supper, but it's not. It's not the Last Supper that he intends to eat with his friends, with his followers. It's a foretaste of what's to come. He intends to feast with us in the kingdom of heaven, and he will go to the cross and to the grave to make sure that we are there with him. A family meal, a holiday meal, not one that is once a year, but one that's forever, to celebrate our redemption, not from Egypt, but from slavery, from fear and pain and doubt and death. A feast to last forever. So however you come to the table today, whatever sorrow or doubt or bone-deep tiredness you're feeling, take the bread and eat it. Take the cup and drink it. As surely as you taste the bread and drink the cup, Jesus offers his body and blood in love for you. And as surely as you taste the bread and drink the cup, he will make sure that you will be eating and drinking new wine with him in the kingdom of heaven. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are all who find refuge in him. In the interests of time, we are going to omit the anthem and move straight to the Lord's Supper. If any of you are here don't have your elements, raise your hand and we will get them to you. You're good. Can you mind? Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from east and west and from north and south to sit at table in the kingdom of God. When our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took bread and blessed and broke it, and that is when their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Do not come to this table because you must, but because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Not because any of us by our own merits is righteous, but because we all stand in need of the forgiving grace of God. Do not come to assert an opinion, but to celebrate a presence. All is made ready. The Lord invites you to share in the feast he has prepared. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father of mercy and God of all comfort, we acknowledge you to be the Lord, and at all times we honor your greatness and glory. First, because you created us in your own image and likeness, but chiefly because you freed us from the enslavement of sin through your only Son, from which neither mortal nor angel had been able to make us free. You gave him in love to be made man like us in all things except sin, that by his death and resurrection he might bring again life to the world. Lord, we are not able in our dullness to understand the breadth and length and height and depth of your love. But true to the commandment of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we come to this table which he has left us to be used in remembrance of his death until he comes again. Here we declare and witness before the world that by him alone we have received liberty and life. By him alone you claim us as children and heirs. By him alone we have access to your favor. By him alone we are raised into your spiritual kingdom, there to eat and drink with you and the Son at that most joyful table of eternal life. In this present time, we on earth have communion with you in heaven. But in the time to come, we shall be raised to that endless joy prepared for us before the foundation of the world was laid. We acknowledge that we have received these gifts by your free mercy and grace through your only Son, Jesus Christ. And we give you all thanks, praise, and glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and having given thanks for it, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant, sealed in my blood, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink of it, all of you." The bread which we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? And the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. Whoever believes in me will never thirst." Also said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Cut off from me, you can do nothing." Let us pray together. God of grace, your Son Jesus Christ left us this holy meal of bread and wine in which we share his body and blood. May we who have celebrated this sign of his great love show in our lives the fruits of his redemption. through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forever. Amen.